Welcome to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Sharon Eubank, and I'm joined in the studio today with the General Relief Society Presidency, Sister Julie B. Beck, Sister Sylvia H. Allred, and Sister Barbara Thompson. Thank you all for the generosity of joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Thanks.
We're discussing today the new Relief Society history book, Daughters in My Kingdom. And just to give a little introduction of the book, it was prepared at the request of the First Presidency and the Quorum of the Twelve. It has just recently been released at the end of September to English-speaking languages, and I think the following languages will happen toward the end of the year.
That's right.
Would you tell a little bit, maybe Sister Beck, could you talk to us a little bit about why the book was commissioned? Why did the First Presidency give this assignment to the Relief Society, and what is it about?
Sharon, we aren't exactly sure why they asked us to do it. When the First Presidency gives assignments, they give a brief little request, and so we just knew that that was an assignment, they wanted it done. And in the way of the Lord, I think we don't always know why. In the introduction of the book, it says that they recognize the sisters for their important contribution and service in the church throughout the history of the church, and also that they recognize Relief Society as an important part of the restoration. Those two things, I think, are needed in today's world for everyone, those in the church and out of the church, to know that Relief Society is an important part of the restoration and that the First Presidency of the church recognizes the contribution of women. There's a third reason, and we might, I think I'll use these scriptures here since they're put here for our our use. This is in Alma chapter 37, and it talks about records. Alma is now turning over the records to his son Helaman to keep, and he's explaining some of the importance. He's trying to help his son know something about records. And he said that the records they had preserved so far had enlarged the memory of the people, and they had convinced many of the error of their ways and brought them to the knowledge of their God and to the salvation of their souls. I see that also as being one of the values of the book, because it is an important record. It collects up records. It will have the same importance that other important records have had in the church. And then another thing he said, that we don't really know what's going to happen because of it. Maybe they'll be the means of bringing many to the knowledge of their God. But he talks about this being having an important person known unto God. So when you ask us to say, why was this done? All we can say is that it was an assignment from the First Presidency. It was created under the influence of the Spirit, and we felt that Spirit and endorsement of the Lord all the way through. We knew He wanted it to happen. And if we can learn anything from other important records, we learn some of these things in the Scriptures, that the real purposes of these things are known to the Lord. And we do know that in the past, records have enlarged the memory of people and brought them to the knowledge of their God. We hope that this history does those same things.
You're talking about something very interesting about that. This is about record keeping and about collecting experience so that it's in a body where women of the church can access this. And I read that this history is being translated into 25 languages?
23, I think.
23
and it could
languages.
Be, it could come in more as the need arises and the resources are available, we will see it in more languages.
So it's being given as a gift without charge to every woman in the church, almost always in her own language, which is a little bit unprecedented in the church. We don't do that very often.
We don't. We have with a few manuals, but to have a personal and family resource given in this way is a fairly significant gift.
Who compiled the book? Where did the stories come from? How did that start?
There was not really much original research done for this book. That wasn't the point of it. A lot of research has been done about Relief Society and the Sisters of the Church. So we used existing resources, other histories that had been completed. We used the words of prophets and what they had said to and about the Relief Society and the Sisters, stories and quotes and things that had come in church magazines. And then that's a big sorting, compiling, editing process. Sister Susan Tanner, former General Young Women President, was called and set apart to do that. I feel like it was a calling that was like a Mormon type calling, where she was given a large amount of records and asked to edit them down into something that had a central message. So that was part of the process. The first thing she did, and we all did as a presidency, was to read everything that was out there. It was hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of pages of research and information that was wonderful. It filled our souls. And the Lord started to delineate a table of contents, how that should come together. It was interesting that as those thoughts came, it wasn't a linear historian's history. Those kinds of things had been done. This was more topical and spiritual in nature and had more of the stories and quotes and inspiring things that would be more globally applicable. We knew that it needed to be global in its approach. So those were the things the Lord reinforced as he taught us how to bring it about. And then we just started thinking about how it would look and feel and be managed by the sisters in the International Church. Even the size of it was took into account their lives and the way they travel on buses and public transportation and how it fits with the size of scriptures that is printed in the languages that we speak in the church, and how the colors things that are culturally accepted in every culture, or how do we stay away from things that are unacceptable? What are things that people relate to across the world? So even the design came by inspiration, and I think that the words and the design complement each other very, very well in order to carry the spirit of the book.
I can tell that you've been living with the design of the book, the purposes of the book, for a long time as your presidency. Sister Allred, tell us a little bit about some of the experiences you've had while just working with the book.
I'll tell you some of the things that I have heard. Just as the first few pages of the print, the first printed pages were coming out of the press, a sister who works there picked up those few pages and started reading them. Later on, she shared that she felt so excited and inspired by what she read that she could hardly wait to get the next pages, and she would wait for the first.
Off the press.
Off the press. So she read them little by little like that before it even went into the book. And then another one, another sister received the book 2 weeks ago, and then a week later she shared the following. She said that she had read the book cover to cover during the week, and she said that the reading this book gave her a better understanding of the purpose of Relief Society. Mm-hmm. Another sister who had only read one chapter told me, "This first chapter opened my eyes. I never thought about women disciples in the ancient church helping Jesus establish his church. And Relief Society being a similar organization helping establish the church in these latter days."
Those are good experiences. You know, you mentioned that sisters are starting to get it in their wards, and it was delivered through wards, through bishops and branch presidents and Relief Society presidents, and then given to sisters. Sister Thompson, talk a little bit about how the presidency hopes that sisters might use the book in teaching or in their lives. How should they use the book?
Well, I guess, first of all, we realize that it's an approved church resource. So it's a book that can be used by any member of the church in any church setting at all. And we hope that, number one, that sisters, women, will use that in their own personal lives, that they'll use it for a personal study. Some may, as Sister Allred said, some may read it from cover to cover. Some may choose to read chapter 8 and then chapter 1 or chapter 4. They could also go topic by topic. There's an index in the book that would help them to find particular topics. So they can do all of those things. But when I think of the book and its value, I think it's a great resource to use in family home evening or to augment a first Sunday lesson in Relief Society, or even in any of the other auxiliaries. One of the things that I heard just a couple of weeks ago, a young woman got the book, and it was just before she was to be married. She said, "I took the book with me on my honeymoon." Imagine that. And she and her new husband, she said, "We've decided that we want to read it together, that this is how we want to pattern our family life," mm-hmm. according to the principles taught in the book. So I'm sure that there are many ways that people can use them. And like I said, it was a church-approved resource to be used in any setting. Maybe you've got a talk coming up for sacrament meeting or in another setting, and it could be used for that. I think that as people familiarize themselves with the book, that they'll feel many ways in which it can enhance their life.
You know, you've said something very interesting, that sometimes we think it may just be for women because it's been distributed through the Relief Society, but here's a young couple who's just starting their marriage, and they're going to use it together to do some planning. Mm-hmm. That's something they want to do.
We've heard from priesthood leaders, bishops, state presidents, counselors, gospel doctrine teachers saying, "I can use this. I can use this to help the members of the church." And I've heard a bishop say, "We're going to study this as a ward council because there are principles and patterns in here that will bless everybody and all the families in the ward." We also think it's great for people who aren't members of the church or who are curious about the church.
And you know, the takeaways of this book are so personal and individual that it will be a different experience for everybody. Mm-hmm. Every sister or every person who reads that book will have a different experience and will be inspired by different parts of the book or by different chapters or by different stories, by different quotes that they will find applicable to their own lives and circumstances at the present.
One of the things I like so much about the book is that it's full of stories. It's full of people's personal experiences with Relief Society or with doctrine. I want to ask all three of you, but I wanted to start with Sister Thompson. What are the stories in the book that made something personal to you? What were one of the stories that you yourself found interesting?
One of my favorite chapters is chapter 3 about covenants, and I especially like the account of Sister Sarah Rich. She was one of the early members of Relief Society in Nauvoo, and she had been asked by Brigham Young to serve in the temple. And as you recall, a number of people, the saints, were anxious to go to the temple and receive their endowment, particularly before they left on their journey west. And so I love it how she explained what joy that brought into their hearts and what how that helped them with their faith. They knew that they were having hardships then, and they knew others were coming. Is it appropriate for me to just read a couple of lines from her? She said this prior to leaving Nauvoo, and as a result of her temple service, she said, "Many were the blessings we had received in the house of the Lord, which has caused us joy and comfort in the midst of our sorrows and enabled us to have faith in God, knowing He would guide us and sustain us in the unknown journey that lay before us." And so when I hear her and others tell little experiences from their own life like that, it just builds my faith. It gives me courage in thinking, well, yes, I can do my assignments if I remember the covenants I've made. And so that's something that stood out in the book to me.
That's a good application. Sister Allred, do you have a story that you really like from the book?
I like the story of Sister Gertrude Zippo, that she was a Relief Society president, and the difficulties in her country were such during the war that they were not allowed to meet and things like that. And she would go at night when it was even dangerous in her bike to visit the sisters to see if they were all right and to keep a watch over them. That really touched my heart.
What is it about that story that means something personal to you? You've been a Relief Society president.
Because I have lived in places where we have had coup d'etats and things like that, and we have been forbidden from going in the streets after certain hours. And and people would get shot or taken into prison and never seen again. And so I that story made me remember some of those periods of time when I lived through those times and how hard it was, but the faith of the sisters doing the things that they were asked to do and fulfilling their callings and watching over one another, it was very tender.
Thank you. Sister Beck?
I think my favorite stories are stories of where we have small congregations, new members of the church trying to learn things they've never learned before, but they catch the spirit of the gospel and the spirit of Relief Society and the potential it has to do good. So even when they don't really know what to do, they've gone to the Lord and received training directly from Him. I think the story of Sister Allred's sweet mother is very inspiring, that she didn't know how to be a Relief Society president, but she was called anyway and did that. And I think that has meaning for me because I go back to my early years as a child in Brazil where I watched my mother working with new members of the church and out in these little branches in faraway places where she'd just meet a sister who sometimes didn't have any teeth or education or any preparation in her life to take over a significant work. But then the Spirit of the Lord came over her and she got some instructions and these women became powerful. They became great leaders. And how can that not build your faith? Sometimes we think somebody has to have special training or education or opportunity to serve the Lord, but it really takes the faith and testimony and the understanding that He'll help us do His work. I love those stories that are very simple and obscure, but that happens every day all over the world again and again. It's happened for generations, and it will continue to happen as the Lord's work goes forward.
Now, I happened to come by your office last week, and you had a Relief Society president from Ethiopia there,
yes.
And she hadn't heard anything about this book, and you were introducing it to her. For someone like her, and there are many people in the audience who are, this is the first time they're hearing about the book, how do you describe the book, and what kinds of terms do you talk about it in so that people think there might be something in that book that I want?
I think it's a witness of the identity and value of Heavenly Father's daughters, and also a witness of His expectation for His daughters, that He's given them a lot and He's going to require a lot at their hands. I think it's also a witness of the influence for good that women have in building the Lord's kingdom. They always have. When they choose to side with the Lord and advocate Him and represent Him in their lives, then they are very influential in accomplishing things. What would I describe it as? I would say this is a gift. This is Heavenly Father's gift to you to help strengthen you in your identity and purpose as a Latter-day Saint woman. And in some ways, I consider it to be a recipe book because it's something that somebody can follow. A recipe is a goal. You want to make something, and so it describes what ingredients and process that you have to have to get something out of that recipe. So it's a book of recipes, and I use that word because women understand recipes for the most part. About you want something, a result, and you follow certain patterns and processes and principles, and there are certain ingredients that get you that result. We want the blessing of eternal life. That's what we signed up for when we came to this world, and it's what we signed up for when we joined the church. We said when we were baptized, in essence, I believe it can be done. And this tells the patterns of how that can be done in a woman's life and help her be aligned and accepted by the Lord.
Almost all of you in some of your comments have talked about people who have read the book, they feel a spirit of the book. There's something in it besides just curriculum that comes out and touches them. And I wondered if you might just each take a minute and talk about how your own personal testimony has grown or strengthened because of your interaction with this project and with the book. Would you start, Sister Thompson?
Well, when I think the very first thing that attracted me, honestly, was that it's pretty. It's a pretty book to look at. It's beautiful. It has some beautiful artwork in it and design. And so it's pleasing to the eye. Even if I couldn't read, I think I would be very interested to go through it and just get the look and feel of it. But the thing, of course, that is the most touching to me, again, are the words of sisters in their own individual setting, their own circumstances, or whether they were married or single, whether they were rich or poor, educated or not. They had the gospel, and that is, and their faith in Jesus Christ, that is what anchored them. And it seemed to me like no matter what they were dealing with, whether it was illness or a poverty or any of these things that are so hard, they were anchored in Jesus Christ and in the gospel. And I just love hearing those stories. It says to me, you can do it. Barbara, you can do it. Whatever you're dealing with in your life, you can do it. These sisters did it. They had faith. You can have faith, and you can do it too. I would never think that a book like this would replace the scriptures, but it, as in the scriptures have repeated experiences that teach us how to live the gospel and how to get answers to prayer and how to keep our lives in this pattern that Sister Beck talked about, follow a pattern. And I think that there are some very good and practical patterns to follow in this book as well.
Thank you.
Well, I could only add my own personal experience, as I have lived in 12 different countries in the world. And in most of the countries I have lived, books are very expensive. So people don't read many books because they're not within their reach of purchasing them. Sometimes they would have to spend a week's wages to buy a book. So they just read the Leona and magazines that come by or newspapers. So they don't have access to history books from the church. And our resources that are available in other languages are very limited. So the sisters are not very familiar with the inspired divine beginnings of the Relief Society. So having this book will not only give them the information about that divinely inspired beginning of the Relief Society, but also it will let them know about the work and the contribution of sisters and women throughout the world to building up the kingdom. Mm. And they will see themselves as builders of the kingdom. I am doing that, or I have done this. I am building the kingdom. Mm. And so it will bring it closer to them, and it will strengthen the bonds of sisterhood that we already have in the Relief Society as an organization and as part of the church. I think that this book will inspire and motivate the sisters to become more actively engaged in building up the kingdom and to appreciate and get a deeper understanding of their own role as builders of the kingdom.
Thank you.
I keep thinking back, and this has been something that's inspired me as we go along, to Eliza R. Snow. When the first Relief Society started, she was called to be the secretary and kept notes or minutes of those meetings. Very good and detailed minutes. She was a wonderful writer. She was educated and was gifted in being able to put down quickly what was said. I don't know if she wrote on a rough copy and later copied into that minute book that she had, but her handwriting was beautiful, and the flow of the words was beautiful.
Well, and the prophet had told them that those minutes would be the bylaws and constitution
of the
organization.
Yeah, he said, this is your constitution. So she was keeping very careful attention to what the prophet taught and the processes. The patterns and processes and purposes that were recorded in that minute book are still consistent today. They haven't changed. Relief Society is still about helping sisters increase faith in their personal righteousness. They aren't doing that. They won't make and keep the covenants the Lord wants them to make and keep. It's still about strengthening families and homes, their own and the families and homes around them. It's still about seeking out and helping those who need some kind of relief or help, either spiritual or temporal need. Those purposes haven't changed. So this constitution or bylaws that she talked about are now really available to every sister in this form. And as we worked on this book, I thought over and over again, would Eliza be happy with this? Would Eliza feel like this should be in her minute book? Would this be something that she and the Prophet Joseph Smith and those other Relief Society presidencies, starting from Emma Smith and her counselors on down, would they consider this to capture what it was the Lord had asked them to do? Those questions were always in my mind, and I feel that we have it, that this is like the Constitution and bylaws. But now it's not just one book in one woman's hands. Now it is everyone's book in everyone's hands. I don't know if we can contemplate the blessing that is for the sisters of the church. Now we all have the bylaws. We all have the Constitution that the Prophet Joseph Smith envisioned when he organized Relief Society, and that other prophets have wanted us to follow. This aligns us worldwide. This is our alignment. So we don't have something different happening in Ethiopia than we do in Chile. And we don't have a different Relief Society in Perth, Australia than we do in New York City. Mm-hmm. This aligns us with the Lord's work and purpose, just like the Prophet Joseph envisioned when he had them write it down and keep a record.
Maybe for a final question, I could just throw this out and say to somebody who has listened to this whole program, maybe a young person, they've received the book, but they're just not positive whether it's for them, that Relief Society actually is that big of a deal, or they've got it, but they haven't opened the book. What would you say to somebody who's contemplating, you know, is it that big of a deal to actually have this Relief Society book?
Right now we're catching people in the middle of the story. We have young Relief Society sisters, new Relief Society sisters. They might be 18 or they might be new members of the church. If they're just coming to the church, they're saying, what is this? I believe going forward from this point, that question will not have as much importance, because we will begin to have a church of girls who have mothers and leaders and teachers who've been through this, who understand it. They will begin to have an understanding of who they are much earlier in their lives. As they grow and develop, they won't wonder where they go next and what Relief Society is and how it fits in with the gospel plan. That will become part of the culture of the church. Whereas for generations in the past, we've had to back up and teach that when someone comes into Relief Society. Now, a new sister in Relief Society, whether she's newly baptized or 18 years old, gets this. She's lined up immediately with all the other sisters in Relief Society. She doesn't have to catch up because she has the same resource they have, and it's going to bless us in the future, not just for the organization of Relief Society, not just this restored pattern of discipleship, but it's going to bless them in their homes and families. I believe it will strengthen couples and marriages as they learn about the unity the Lord teaches about in here, of his sons and daughters working together to build his kingdom. I think it will build faith in the missionaries. We need more and better prepared missionaries in this church. And who prepares them? They begin at their mother's knee and their primary teacher's knee from when they're very young. It doesn't start when they're 12. That understanding of the gospel and how it goes through time is going to be in the hearts and minds of women as they now bring the rising generation forward and strengthen them.
I was a missionary shortly after I have been baptized. So the way of how I obtained my testimony of the Book of Mormon and of Joseph Smith and of the church was very fresh in my mind. And I could still feel that fire in my heart. I still feel it. But as a young missionary, I found it so easy to tell people that if they read the book and if they prayed, the Lord would give them a testimony, because that's how I have obtained it. And it was so fresh in my mind and in my heart that I had passion when I shared that. And I think that with this book, as if I read it and I have a spiritual experience of some kind reading it, I will want to share that with my friends or with people that are interested in listening to me, just like I used to do with about the Book of Mormon and about my newfound beliefs. And that excitement is contagious, and they might feel, oh, maybe I want to read and maybe I'll find something there. So I think that just sharing our feelings and experiences, our takeaways from the book, will help implement the reading of this book and get people excited about reading the book. Because I think that no one can really read it without feeling something or gaining some new understanding or have a more clear understanding of something that will help them improve their lives and the way they contribute to the kingdom.
You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program. I've been joined by the General Relief Society Presidency, Sister Julie B. Beck, Sister Sylvia H. Allred, and Sister Barbara Thompson. Thank you, all three of you, for coming today.
It's been Thank great.
You.
Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you for inviting us.
We've been discussing the new Relief Society history book, Daughters in My Kingdom. There's more information available at reliefsocietyhistory.lds.org. Thank you.